Hey everyone, just Tyrone here. Just want to take a quick sec to say thank you to everyone for your continued support. The battle is not over. At this point, word of mouth is the best way to get our podcast out there. So please remember to share with your friends or direct them to our Patreon, www.patreon.com/moduscritica. Share it with your friends, share it with your friends' friends, share it with your friends' 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 grandmas, because they'll probably love it too. But I'll leave it at that. Thank you again so much for your continued support. Enjoy episode 7 of Modus Critica. Modus Critica is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised. Last time on Modus Critica. As our heroes explored the city of Senelise, Dario Sadolfo came upon a dwarven woman in distress, exclaiming her fears about her partner and fellow druid. With time to kill, our vigilant heroes decided to make way to the site of the tragedy and investigate the area. Met with a full frontal attack, the party managed to make quick work of the corrupted animals and return the rage-filled druid to the city unharmed. Aldous the Magnificent was called immediately and cast a spell that seemed to curiously halt the effects of the corruption. With the druids reunited, our heroes met again with the queen, who was quick to send them off to the Mercandraw, a swampland to the south. There they must search out Baba Yaga and find the location of one of the stones of power. Welcome to episode 7 of Modus Critica, an actual play D&D podcast. We are 6 uniformly unorganized 30-somethings from the west coast of Canada, and we are here to role play, roll heads, and roll dice. Those 6 people are...
Hi, my name is Eric, and I play Cornelius, a druid Harangon, and I'd like to apologize for my audio the last many episodes, as I am computer illiterate. That's all I have to say.
Hi, my name is Kyle, and I'll be playing Dario Sadolfo. I am also a 30-something-year-old. I'm disorganized, and it's cool, because it's really relaxed, really chill. Love playing D&D. See you soon.
Hi, my name is Sid, and I'll be playing Gord Godhand, the half-orc paladin barbarian, who totally has his life together. Like, I mean, I do stuff, and I'm 30. It's together, I swear.
You're not 30.
You liar.
I mean, I'm older than 30. But come on.
I thought I knew you, man.
It was the one thing I had.
Hi, I'm Caitlin. I'm also Torque Tortellini, who is a very anxious tortle monk. And like everyone else, I'm in my 30s, except I'm moderately organized and I don't wear a uniform.
Hello, my name is Zach. I play Nevlin Thrice Great, gnome illusionist. That's pretty much all he is. He's a gnome illusionist.
All right, and I am Tyrone. I will be your dungeon master. I don't wear a uniform either, but I'm still uniform. I don't know what that means anymore.
You wear cubbies, you liar.
Does anyone here wear a uniform at their job?
You know what?
I wear my regular
Tyrone
clothes.
Does.
I do wear a uniform at my job.
Blue coveralls, baby.
Blue coveralls and a red hard hat.
Yeah. Kyle, do you have to wear a uniform at your work?
You know what? We get these FDC t-shirts for free from a company that makes final drives. They're really nice.
Kyle wears them at home, too.
I wear them at home as well. They're really nice. They're nice shirts.
Okay, so last session, you guys were just wrapping things up in Senelise. You met up with the queen after a crazy endeavor, and as you were approaching Randrick Vestibule, 2 small children came up to you and gave you good berries and thanked you for helping their father in the city of Evernight.
That's right.
Then you spoke with Vestibule. He prepared his farewell speech, sent you off with a few things, and you guys stepped onto the platform and descended down into the forest floor of the Forest of the Mother, below Senelise. And so now you guys and Spud are all heading towards the Mercandraw to the south.
All right.
Okay.
Southward.
It is quite damp and pungent out there. I'm not looking forward to wet feet. I remember my time in the military. Trench foot was a terrible thing to have.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that I'm gonna thrive down there, guys.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get myself some boots.
You might even multiply there, Damon.
I may.
Wait, are we calling him Spud or Damon?
I mean, you can call me whatever you want. You know, my friends call me Spud, but my family calls me Damon, so...
What if we're neither?
You could call me Spud.
Well, that's cleared up now. That's great. Let's go and walk towards this marsh now.
Okay, let's go. It's this way. And you guys, he guides you guys out of the Forest of the Mother.
As you travel south through the beautiful lush fields and meadows of the Fae, the landscape begins a curious transition. Greens fade to yellows, and the long grass seems to stretch and take root more frequently. The clear blue skies seem to slip away as gray clouds give way to eerie shadows in a cold mist. Hard ground softens with each step until the horizon opens up into a shimmering body of stagnant water. A reflection of the clouds and the water blends seamlessly with gnarled roots that burst forth from the earth in horror, desperate to escape. Unlike the plains of the Feywild or the Forest of the Mother, the draw seems the polar opposite, constructed of horror, death, and loneliness. A lone weeping willow dances sadly over the side of the water, giving depth to the gravity of the disquiet here. Trees among the bog bear foul-smelling rotten fruit, and when mixed with the gaseous clouds that float above the water, they create an atmosphere that stings the nostrils. The wind subsides and offers a moment of silence when you hear a massive shriek, followed by the snapping sound of a gator's mouth. With no visual confirmation of the stones' corruption, it seems somewhat safe to continue through the bog.
What do you guys do?
Well, I say we continue on through the bog.
Yeah, let's be a little cautious here, though. Maybe we can try to, mask our footsteps a little bit. You know, it should be easy to be quiet going through this this thick mud, but...
Should we travel single file?
Let's go in single file, and let's certainly make an attempt to sneak. You know, on a scale of 1 to 20, let's hope for 20, but...
Okay, do you guys want to do a group stealth check, then?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, yeah. Everybody roll.
Oh, that's not so good.
Gord got a 14.
Yeah, Cornelius is sitting high with a 6.
I got a 9.
It'll be a 12 for Navlin.
Torque is average at 13.
Okay, well, considering that you're walking through water, which is quite loud as it is, I'm going to say that you're not going to be super quiet. You're definitely not going to be stealth. You could try to be quiet, but it's going to be tricky. It's really muddy and sloshy, and it's damn near impossible for you guys to remain stealth. Actually, roll me a perception check.
All of us?
Yeah, why not?
22 for Cornelius.
Oh. Torque rolled in that 20.
Okay.
I got the 19.
Yeah.
I got a, 6.
Okay. Nevelin, you don't see anything.
He's reading his spell book as he walks.
There you go. Today is equivalent of texting and walking. So the rest of you, though, you did hear that gator as you approached the swamp, but you don't actually see anything or really hear anything in your vicinity. And as you're walking through the bog, it is fairly open, so it would be pretty easy for you guys to see anything coming from afar for the most part. So traveling single file, while not stealthily, you should still be, I mean, more or less okay. But that said, the bog is difficult terrain everywhere, so it means you guys are going to be traveling at half speed, so it's going to take a little bit longer for you guys to get to Low Erin than now that you're in the bog. And there are, like, a few pads of earth here and there that you can walk on, but it's just a lot of water. Mostly water, way less land. There's also crazy weather in this place. So I've created a weather system for the bog, so I'm going to do 4 rolls per day of walking, and it's going to change the weather. Some of the weather is not going to affect you, such as overcast, but if I roll a 1 or a 4 on the d4 that I'm rolling, there will be extreme fog in which you guys will need to make a survival check to make it through to your next destination, or thunder and lightning is 1, and there's some stipulations that happen, so I'm just going to go ahead and roll those right now. It's going to be probably about 3 days for you guys to make it to Low Erin, so I'm going to roll the weathers. It is looking overcast. It is looking...
And again, so the first day is just overcast. You guys make it through without much problem whatsoever. It's really wet and gross. You stop for a rest. You get up in the morning. You continue on. About midday the next day, you're walking and clouds form over top of you guys. And it is pouring rain down on top of you guys. And immediately thunder starts to go. And you guys hear the crackle of lightning as it smashes into the ground. I'm just gonna roll a D100 here. And you hear that the thunder go, and you see the flash of the lightning off in the distance, but it doesn't seem to approach you guys. You're okay for the rest of the day. You make it to your destination, and you rest and wake up for the third day on your way to Lo Aran.
We're so lucky.
You are very lucky. I keep rolling overcast, and overcast.
As you trudge through the murky bog water on foot, you see a lone withering tree standing amongst the nothingness. The tree sits atop a small island of sorts and is seemingly abandoned.
Can you all roll me a perception check?
It's a 21.
Gord also got a 21.
Dario?
Dario rolled a 16.
Nevlin?
16.
Cool. I really only needed one pass, but... So you guys can see a little further past through the fog, where a shrubbish-looking creature appears to be sitting on a large rock, sobbing uncontrollably. What do you guys do?
Somebody more empathetic should go and talk to that crying tree.
Gord?
I'll walk up to the tree.
Okay.
Yeah, Gord, you go first. We'll take up the slack behind you.
Yeah, Gord, Gord walks towards the tree. And goes,
Yeah, I'll come up behind you.
Excuse me. I can't help but see that you are crying. Are you a child, or are you lost?
Right as you say that, the creature drops down off the rock and runs towards and in front of the tree. And it looks at you all and it says,
No, please stop. Don't hit us. We're just so weak. Just be on your way.
Weak? I mean, what's the matter, little buddy?
She looks you up and down, and she's like,
You won't hurt us.
I, of course, won't. Yeah. Because no, I'm a good guy. Come here, my friend. And I'll come a little bit closer.
She keeps her arms, like, wrapped around, like, as her back is against the tree. And she looks at you very nervously, but she's like,
Oh, up until recently, a group of redcaps used to visit us every evening, every fortnight, and camp around a small fire. Of late, they have changed. We no longer see anything in their eyes. Black as the ethers. They have been back every night and have begun torturous acts, ripping our limbs for their fire, laughing maniacally all the while.
This is not standard behaviors for these red caps.
No!
Oh, that sounds awful.
They've got black eyes, you said?
Black as the ethers.
Yeah, sounds like they got the ooze.
Yeah, they got the ooze. Na 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 na. Sorry, guys. I just should have been a bard.
They don't seem to care or notice that we're dying. Withering away. We hurt. We're in pain. We want them to stop, to leave us alone, but they return every night. And there's nothing we can do.
How many of there are you?
What do you mean?
Was there more than just yourself?
No, it's me and this tree that I'm bound to.
And how much longer until they return?
They return at sundown.
I look up.
when you left the camp that morning, it was early. It was like dawn. So it's probably like a couple hours to sunset.
Okay. I tell you what, there, little one. When these red caps come back, we'll deal with them. We'll talk to them.
It would be so appreciated.
Yes, we.
Well, like, why are we just gonna like hang around and like help this guy? Like, what's in it for us?
Hey, Torque, if they got the ooze, there's a good chance that they know something about the stone that's supposed to be hereabouts.
Yeah,
maybe if they got the ooze, they probably won't want to talk to us.
Well, I can. Sorry, Gord, but I can dispel the ooze. If we can capture one of them, I can bring him back to his senses, and maybe they know something about what's going on around here.
I say it's worth a shot.
So that means we shouldn't kill them all?
Maybe not all of them. Let's try to keep one, yeah?
All right.
Yes, okay.
Maybe we should try and keep two in case we accidentally kill one of them, you know? Just like a backup?
There you go, Dork.
Yeah, maybe two. Maybe two, because I'm such a powerhouse, you know? I might accidentally kill the ball in like
no,
two.
No, it wouldn't be you. It would never be you, Spud. It would never be you.
Hey, little tree.
Yes?
They were all friendly before, right?
They were friendly, yes.
Let's try and save them all, okay, guys? Like, let's leave a legacy we can be proud of.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, Gord.
Yeah.
My legacy is murder.
You know what? In the spirit of...
That's got real dark. Got dark real fast.
Yeah, I have a lot of legacy ahead of me.
So, anyways, Gord, I'm let's try to keep him alive here. See what happens.
I think that's a really nice sentiment, Gord, and seeing as they used to be friends and now they're not, and they've been infected or whatever. Yeah, sure. We'll try our best.
We'll just play it by ear.
Why are you bound to this tree, by the way?
I'm a dryad of the Mercantrope, and this is my tree. I am bound to it and it to me.
Do all dryads are you all bound to trees?
Yes, we are all bound to certain trees.
Interesting. Do you have any other dryad folk around you then?
Yes. But
come on, Tyrone, you got this.
Frank lives just 300 yards that way, but now I cannot meet him face to face as we cannot leave our trees. They're both too far away. We can't get in the middle. We can wave from a far distance, but we've never shook hands.
How do dryads mate? That's pretty crazy.
From
afar.
Catch this!
Like an underground root system.
Yeah, there might be a mycelium
the underground,
kind of.
Yeah, they basically lay down on the ground and they're
and not they're, explaining
the,
dryad sex.
The what underground is root man? Systems.
If you do explain dryad sex, you have to put sex music over top of this.
Yeah, like full on.
Barry White or something.
No.
I think you should. I really think you should.
So, and what's your name there?
My name is...
obviously.
It's Francesco.
Francesco. Oh,
Francesco. Francesco the Dryad.
Of course it is.
Tell you what, Frank. We'll stay here. Maybe we'll go talk to Frank. Just make sure that he's okay, too. And then maybe we can set up a perimeter.
Jump
these guys
to Frank.
And get them sorted.
Okay,
see you later, Franny. We're just gonna go talk to Frank. Hang on a second.
Yeah, Francesco, we will be back before sundown, before these men come and split your tree branches again.
Okay.
Okay.
See you in a minute. Come on, guys, let's go.
So you guys trudge over to Frank?
Yeah, we're gonna go talk to Frank.
Hey, Frank, you know any other dragons around here?
Okay,
trudge.
You go 300 yards over, trudging through this gross, disgusting bog, and you make it to another kind of full tree in a sea of dead trees, and you see a large dryad just,
snapping his fingers.
Snapping?
Yep. He's just like...
Ooh, Frank!
Frankie, my boy.
Hello, how's it going?
It's really going great now. We were just talking to your friend, Francesco.
Franny, yeah.
Yeah, Franny, just over beyond. She said that she was having some trouble with some red caps. They have black eyes. Have any red caps been bothering you?
No, they don't seem to come over this way. But poor Franny's been getting the once over. Every night they've been tearing down her tree and building fires.
Why don't you do anything to help her?
I mean, I can't leave my tree, right? So I gotta be here.
Hey, how do you guys meet?
Well, we lay down on the ground. And,
All right, Torque, you don't need to hear this. You're only nine.
Well, nobody's ever explained it to me.
I think turtles are different. Turtles are just as different as orcs and... right. Dryads and Nevelins.
So anyway,
wow.
Frank, more about you.
yeah, what do you want to know?
Well, first off, how many of them are there?
I don't know. They don't come over this way.
I guess we should have asked Francesca that.
Maybe, okay, we'll see you later, Frank. I guess we gotta go back over there.
All right, well, you guys take care of yourselves.
You too, Frankie boy.
Okay,
yeah,
bye,
stay
Frankie
cool,
boy.
Frank.
And you turn around and you see him put like a fedora made of like vines and shit on his head, and he's like,
turns out he was an asshole.
And Frank should think about being a phone sex operator. He's got the voice for it.
Yeah, my roots are all up in your underground structure. I'm growing leaves as we speak.
Okay, so you guys go back over to Francesco.
Yep.
Hi, Franny.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Francesca, we were just talking to Frank over there. He says that he corroborates your story. He says that they come and bother you and take your branches.
Yes. Yeah, but we wanted to make sure you were telling the truth, that's all.
Why would you doubt me?
Well, we don't know you. We're in the middle of a
stranger
swamp.
Stranger danger, I don't know.
I was looking to find out if they bugged him, too, that's all.
I suppose. Well, will you help me then?
Sure.
Helps yeah, we got
gotcha.
You.
So.
Yeah, we're going to help.
Listen, how many of these red caps are there on average?
There are six.
Six of them.
No biggie
well,
at all.
Well, that'll be easy, right, guys? That's no big deal.
Should we lay an ambush? What direction do they come from?
Yeah, tell us everything you know.
They come in from the south and the north and then the west.
But oh, not the east.
Not the east.
Not where Frank is, no.
Why don't they bother Frank?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. Like,
he's really cool.
He snaps a lot, you know.
He's got a great hat.
Well, boys, okay. Looks like we're setting up an ambush.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I love you
guys.
Hey,
you know what? I can hold my breath for up to an hour. I can just lay down in the water, and then I can surprise them, and I can murder them all.
That's perfect, Tork.
That would actually be.
You know what? I can turn into an animal as well and play it cool.
Yeah, good call, Cornelius.
I'll stand guard.
I mean, I know that I'm a rabbit, but
yeah, you're already an animal.
But I mean, like, I'm still almost 5 feet tall.
Can you turn into a gator? That would be cool.
I haven't spent a lot of time with gators.
Damn it.
Well, I'll be standing right next to you there, Gord. There's nothing that I can offer except to, stand by you and we'll fight it out.
Are you guys just gonna hide?
Yeah. So if we get the two of you standing tall in front, and Tork, you hide under the water. Cornelius, you turn into a frog or whatever. And I don't know. Maybe I'll climb up into the tree. I can cast spells from up there pretty good.
Yeah, good idea.
How do you like that, Francesca?
I suppose it sounds good.
Well, then we have a plan. Let's do it. Let's
I hate execute. Her so much.
Anyway, I will just be...
And she leans back into the tree and just kind of melds into the tree. And you guys go about doing all of your hiding shenanigans?
Yes.
A little hiding montage?
Are we within an hour of sundown? Because Torque's only got an hour of breath, you know? He's got to, like, time it accordingly.
You can come up and down.
Yeah.
No, he's going to commit. he needs to commit. Once he's under, he is under.
yeah, it's you guys can just wait a bit and get it going. There's a little, like
montage time.
Yeah. And somebody's, like, running to hide in the tree and, like, steps on Tork's back, and then Tork rolls over, and they're all laughing together. And
then we laugh, and then we high-five.
Gord's just leaning against
yeah.
the tree, just, like, looking at the shenanigans. I'm like, oh, children. I remember my kids.
Okay.
Hey, Gord, you give me a boost into the tree here? It's a little tall.
Yeah, see, here you go, Neverland. No problem.
Yep. Well, you.
Thanks, Dario.
Okay, where are you guys spatially? Like,
I'm in the tree.
I'll basically stay in a position that gets me close enough to everybody. I like to be somewhere in the middle.
Spud, can you just, like, look like a mushroom or something? Just hang out somewhere?
Yeah, totally. I'm gonna just go over by this tree, and I'm just gonna play mushroom bag. That's what I do.
Yeah, man, we have a really great group.
Listen, Gord, Dario, I got an idea here, Nevlin says from the top of the tree. And you see the end of his staff kind of hang out the bottom, and it twirls around a little bit, and the telltale tinkling of magic happens as a 5x5 foot chunk of the earth is excavated out of the ground and
Nice. Moved
over to the bog and just dumped into the bog. And he's like, "Yeah, I can make a couple of these. You guys can you can hide in there if you want."
You're giving us a trench?
Yeah, we can dig a little trench. And Nevlin's using mold earth to create little trenches for you guys.
Dario
suddenly has a flashback about being in a trench and being surrounded by his dead friends, and he's like, no, I think I'll stay out of there. I'm gonna actually stand on top of this rock now, so I'm very noticeable.
Yeah, we can use these to maybe trap them in as well.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Put some branches over it, and then we'll just, you know...
Anybody else have any trapping devices?
I have 10 candles.
Do I have enough time to put trenches all around this thing?
I mean, you could, yeah. If you want to set up a perimeter, by all means.
Yeah. Okay, and then...
How long until sundown?
You guys have about an hour.
Okay, in about
loads of time.
15 minutes, I turn into a rabbit.
Okay. Stop it.
Good. It's like Spud and turning into a mushroom. He already was a mushroom.
Yeah. So I will become a rabbit.
Yeah, I basically build a big trench around us.
Torque is going to... He's going to be on the northern side about, like, I don't know, 5, 10, 15, 20. He's going to be about, like, 25 feet away from the northernmost trench, and he's going to hold his breath, and he's going to go under the water with the idea that they'll go up to the trench, and then he'll be behind them, and he'll jump up and surprise them from behind.
Okay.
And he'll be trapped, in
Sounds
theory.
Good.
And Cornelius is the same plan as that, except I'm a bunny on land, so I'm also probably about 15, 20 feet away, kind of to the northwest of the tree.
Nevlin is going to cast Mage Armor
long
before these guys show up.
Gord's going to be polishing his quarterstaff.
It's not what I thought you were going to say,
subdual.
But...
Just subdue.
He's polishing his wood.
Okay. All right, and Spud just chills by the big tree, and I mushroom it out, bro. And then...
Dario's just going to hang out by the big rock.
Did we cover the holes?
I thought that was your job.
Oh, yeah. Let me get that for you. I'll start covering
Okay,
the
so now you guys have about 5 minutes to sundown.
Okay, see you later. I'm going under, guys. Good luck out there.
All right, we'll see you soon there, Torque.
You got the holes all covered as best you could. It's about 5 minutes till sundown, and you guys are all in your hiding places. The holes are all covered up, and Francesca is melded in with the tree, and you guys just sit quietly and listen. About 10, 15 minutes passes, and you start to hear little... And you can hear, like, small amounts of sloshing coming from everywhere but the east. And as you sit and wait, 6 blood-covered red caps come walking towards you, eyes black as obsidian. And I'm going to need you all to roll initiative, but you will all have a surprise round as you are hiding.
Okay. I'm so nervous, actually.
Dang, it's been a while.
Okay, Torque rolled a 9.
Gord rolled a 1.
Oh no.
Man, he's been polishing his wood too hard.
Dario rolled a 6.
An 11 for Nevlin.
That's like a sweet little rhyme almost. Cornelius with 17.
Oh no, he's going first. Oh,
Gord, what's your dexterity?
-1.
Okay, so Spud's going to go just before you because he also rolled a 1.
What an idiot.
We make eye contact with each other, and we're like, hold, hold.
Oh my god, stop.
Torque looks over jealous.
Just his eyes are above the water. Just darting around.
A tear just fills the water space, just enough to raise it.
One single drop is added to the bog that day.
So first up in the surprise round is going to be Cornelius.
Okay, I'm going to hop 5 feet to the north like a bunny would. And I'm going to chew on a little bit of grass, and I'm going to ready an action. And that will be if the red cap that is closest to me makes it to one of the trenches, I'm going to attack it from behind.
Okay, nice. Sounds good. Then it's going to be Nevlin.
Can you give me a sample of Francesca's voice again?
Yes, it's I, Francesca.
All right. Nevlin is going to use Enhanced Minor Illusion.
Yeah.
To cast an image of Francesca standing atop one of the holes to the south.
That's so good.
And because he has Enhanced Minor Illusion, he can add audio to it.
Okay.
So he creates an image of Francesca basically beckoning this red coat towards her, being like,
"Fuck you, you cocksucker."
Yeah.
That's it.
Francesca appears over one of the holes, and she's like,
"Fuck you, cocksucker! Leaves us alone."
And okay, is that your action?
That's my action.
Okay.
I love that Francesca's voice has like Gollum, like Sméagol vibes. It's like, "Leaves us alone."
I could never do a good Gollum though.
Well, it turns out you can.
Yeah, right. You know, if you just practice hard every day.
Yeah.
You too could be a Sméagol.
You too could own the precious. Okay, then it's going to be Torque.
Okay, so Torque is going to stay under the water and he's going to ready an action so that once a red cap passes and he senses that they pass him, he's going to pop up from beneath the water, and he's just gonna attack it with his short sword.
Okay.
As the red cat passes.
Sounds good to me, and it's not a turtle sense. It's probably just like your eyes come out the top of the water.
My turtle sense is tingling.
Turtle man.
Just so we got that clear, you don't have fucking superpowers. He's just poking his turtley head out the top of the water.
Yeah, and his cute little eyeballs.
Yeah. That they can't see.
In his ears.
His ear holes. Dario, it's gonna be your go next.
I'm so good at this.
Alright, so I pull my amulet of Mercure and I'm like, "By the power of Mercure, bring your scythe into the battle with me." And I create spiritual weapon in the shape of a spectral scythe that flies through the air to attack shit. And okay. I'll do that first by this guy to the immediate north of the tree.
Kyle, where do you want it?
I'll have it immediately in front of this. I want it right there.
I'll have it immediately.
Oh, wait, there it is.
In my ass.
Right here?
Right there, yes. And then,
that's good.
And then I'll also have it attack.
Oh, okay, roll to hit.
Roll to hit is probably not going to hit. It's 4 plus 5, which is 9.
Yeah, it's not going to hit.
Okay, so it just misses.
Yeah, it rips through the air just over the top of the red cap's head, and it starts to get rage eyes.
All right, then I will move forward next to Gord, and I'll take the dodge action.
Okay. Then it's going to be Spud's turn, and Spud is also going to be waiting for one of them red caps to come up towards the tree, and he will attack with both of his short swords, and then it's going to be Gord.
Because it's surprise round, do we get advantage on these?
You're hiding, so you would have advantage, yeah. Depending, like, if you just come out in the middle of the open area and, like, start charging at one of them, you're not going to have advantage because you're not hiding anymore.
I would say Gord, from his hidden position in the shade of the tree, all of a sudden, one of the red caps sees a javelin just fly straight towards it into its shoulder.
Okay.
Hopefully.
to roll a hit?
Yeah, hopefully. No, that'll hit. That's a 24 to hit.
Yeah, nice. It's definitely a hit.
5 damage.
All right.
And then from the shadows, once that javelin came from, Gord appears, pulling out his quarterstaff, and I'll step in front of the traps we made and say, come get me.
It looks at you and it's like, and it goes ragey, rage eyes.
Excellent.
Sides bulge out of its head, and you can see the black, you can see the depth of the blackness of their eyes as it turns towards you. So for the sake of this fight, we're going to give all the red caps movement because they're not going to act because they don't know you're there. Everything is normal to them, but they don't partake in actions for the surprise round. So the first red cap walks up to the visage of Francesca, and it stands there ready to attack. It draws its scythe, and it is ready to attack. Red cap number 2 is walking in from the north, and it's going to walk basically right beside you, Torque. Would you...
Oh, Torque's going to get him.
Yeah.
He's going to fucking annihilate him.
So go ahead and use your surprise action.
Okay, so...
At advantage.
Thank you.
Yeah, it will be at advantage.
So Torque rolled an 11 plus 6, so that's a 17. And he would have rolled a 21 at advantage.
Yeah,
so
it's a hit.
Torque's just going to launch out of this murky-ass bog water, and he's gonna like leap kung fu style, like probably covered in a whole bunch of shit from the depths of the marsh, and he's gonna come down real heavy like with his short sword, and it's gonna be a whopping 9 damage.
Okay. You do just as you say, and you come down on this thing with a furious blow, slicing into its chest, ripping its flesh open, and it is now bleeding.
Yeah, good. And Torque will be like, surprise! And then he's going to use his turtle claws to chew him up a little more.
Okay, roll to hit.
That's going to be a 15.
15 is going to hit, for sure.
Fantastic. Okay. And then that'll be... Oh, that'll be max claw damage. That'll be 8 damage.
8 damage, yeah.
Yeah, I rolled a 4, yeah.
You slash into it with your claws, and you rip open the wound further, and the blood just starts coursing out through this hole.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Okay. The third red cap is coming in from the west, and it walks right past you, Cornelius. And,
as it should.
And it walks straight up to the first hole before the tree, and Spud is going to jump out and attack.
It's also just reached the spot where I am provoked to...
Yeah, we'll get to you right after.
Okay.
Spud is attacking with his short swords, but he jumps out and attacks twice and hits with one of them, and that's going to deal max damage for 10 damage to this madcap as it walks by, and he slashes into its arm just down the vertical of its arm, and it renders its unattacking arm pretty much useless as it pours blood from the wound. Cornelius, you want to use your surprise action there, brute?
You know it. All right, I'm gonna hop on over and I'm gonna bite at its ankle.
All right.
You're gonna gnaw it?
Oh, yeah, that's a fucking 19 to hit.
That's gonna hit.
And that does 1 piercing damage.
1 piercing damage?
And then...
You're fighting it as a bunny?
I make a weird bunny sound, and then I, like, roll on the ground, and I kind of, like, have, like, a little rabbit-type-looking seizure, and then I pop back into my normal form.
And the red cap...
I also yell, surprise! And I look over at Torque, and that's my turn.
The red cap looks down at you as you're convulsing on the ground. It touches its one foot to its other foot to kind of like be like, ow, as you bite its ankle. And it looks at you convulsing, and it's like, which is red cap for that bunny is changing. Oh, no, it changed into a more different bunny. And then it's going to be the fourth red cap's turn, and it's getting ready to attack basically the spiritual weapon that's in front of it. And the fifth red cap comes in from the southwest and walks directly toward you, Gord, and it takes two steps and it falls into the hole.
It
cannot get out of the hole. It's gonna take 1d6 falling damage.
So pitted.
Max gotcha. Falling damage. It takes 6 falling damage.
And stay down there.
Yeah, and it's just starting to, like, it's clawing to try and get its way out. Then it's gonna be the red cap one's turn. It is going to attack the Francesca over the hole, the illusion Francesca.
Big as granny.
And it is going to miss, and I'll have it roll a dexterity to see if the follow-through lands it in the hole. It rolled a 17 plus 1 for 18, so it is not going to fall into the hole. But as the illusion dissipates, it does not notice that there is a covered hole before it. Then it's going to be Cornelius' turn.
Cornelius is going to use the rabbit hop to jump 10 feet back away from the red cap I was standing next to. And
yep.
I will cast... I'm just going to produce flame, and I'm going to hurl it.
Okay, roll the hit.
Hurl it, bro.
17.
That's a hit. Are you hitting the one directly in front of you?
Yeah, the one that I just bit.
Okay.
In yep. the ankle.
Yep.
And that is going to be... 4 damage.
All right. Flame comes forth from your hand, catching this red cap off guard as you have hopped back, and it ravishes its body, and it burns it quite severely, dealing 4 damage. Is that going to be your turn?
Yes, that is okay. My turn.
Okay, then it's going to be red cap number 3, which is the one you just attacked. It sees you, Cornelius, and it runs directly towards you.
Well, ain't that a bitch.
And it is going to take 3 slices at you.
Okay.
With its scythe. Sickle. It's a sickle, not a scythe. It's a sickle. First one's a dirty 20 to hit. I'm assuming it hits. Second one's definitely a hit, 17 plus 6. Third one's a 14 plus 6 for dirty 20 to hit. All 3 of those hit.
Oh, yes.
Okay, you're going to take 64 plus 12 damage.
Holy fuck.
Oh, guys.
I want you to know that I'm very excited by this potential damage you're going to hit. Get.
So you're going to take 22 damage, Cornelius, of the
what
slashing.
What the fuck?
You just killed a bunny.
No, not yet. Ow!
Okay.
I proclaim, or do I exclaim? Whichever one.
Okay. Next on the list is the fourth red cap. He's coming from the south, and he is going to attack the spiritual weapon.
Okay. I guess, yeah, he might not know the difference, but yeah, it'll be more like an illusionary thing. Because he can phase right through it.
He's dumb, yeah. and he's corrupted. He rolls, and it doesn't matter. His sickle goes right through it 3 times, and he realizes that it doesn't exist. Well, then he's going to move right up to you, Gord, and he's going to end his turn there. And then the fifth red cap is actually in the hole. So then it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
Nevlin from up in the tree is going to use Mold Earth again. He's going to pick up 5 cubic feet of earth from beside the hole that the red cap is stuck in and deposit it into the hole that the red cap is stuck in.
You're going to bury him?
You are bury gonna... that sucker.
Just to head deep.
Okay.
If I can manage it, I would like to only bury him up to his shoulders.
I think if you use 5 cubic feet to put over top of someone that's in a 5 cubic feet hole, it's going to mound over the top even then some because of the...
What if I drop it on the edge so only a portion of the pile falls in?
Or drop it? Can you drop it any way you want?
I think you can drop it like it's hot, but I don't think that... I think it's just going to go over the top of him and yeah, probably be dead by the end of the battle. Maybe.
Wow, you're going to, like,
bury
him.
We'll see how many
alive.
I can bury before the battle's done.
Okay. All right, so you pick up this 5 cubic feet of dirt and drop it on top of the hole that the red cap is in already, beside the tree and beside Gord, and the dirt just, like, pummels this thing, and it, like, it drops down, like, a huge amount of weight. 5 cubic feet of soil just, like, falls on this thing's head, and it is completely buried in this hole.
You hear
I mean,
gut
I don't, know, I don't approve, but...
And then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Wow, what a flurry.
Holy fuck. Sorry. Soil weighs 74 to 110 pounds per cubic foot.
Yeah, it's a lot of weight, man. You think of how much 5 cubic feet is? Like, it's a lot of soil, man.
It's huge, yeah.
Okay, wow. I'm so excited that Torque gets another stab at murder. The red cap that he attacked previously is still in front of him, so he's just going to attack the shit out of him again.
Okay, give her nuts. Roll the hit.
Oh. Well, it was a very valiant effort. It's a 10 in total.
Yeah, that's not going to hit.
Can I roll to attack with his little turtle claws?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, go turtle claws. 11.
Yeah, that's not going to hit either.
God damn it!
You slash out, and you're just shy. You miss him. He's shaking and convulsing as they do, the corrupted folk, and he manages to dodge out of the way of your hits.
Torque is going to stay right the hell where he is.
Okay, then it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right, so then as a bonus action, he focuses on the Scythe of Mercule. It's going to fly in and attack the guy in front of Gord.
Okay, roll the hit.
Roll the hit. That's going to be a 17 plus 5 for 22.
Definite hit.
Okay, and it's going to do some force damage now. D8 plus my spell attack modifier, which will be a 4 plus 3. I do 7 damage.
All right. Yeah, the scythe comes down on this thing fairly hard and slices it open pretty well across its belly, and you notice the blood start to trickle. It's a very sharp spiritual scythe.
And as it does that, I come in beside Gord, and I reach out a hand. I hold one hand to my medallion of Mercule. My hand comes out glowing red, and I go and touch him, and I'm going to inflict wounds.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. Okay, it's a natural 20.
Oh wow. Okay, so roll, let's do max plus rolled.
Well, it's 30 damage because it's 3d10, and then I roll another 3d10.
Holy fuck, are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Kyle, that's okay. Fucked up.
So well, he's going to explode. Like,
Dario, what are you doing?
I do 41 damage.
Murder him, Dario! Finish him off!
So I hold on to the medallion of Mercule, and I go, let Mercule touch your soul and kill you!
And as you touch your hand to this thing, you see its life force start to drain out. You can actually see it, and it just, like, its face goes white and its eyes bulge as the life just draws out of its body, and it slowly starts to shrivel and suck in as its bones are breaking and its flesh is starting to, like, contort and tear and then crumple, and then it just, like, fucking sucks itself inside into this, like, fucking broken, decrepit form, and it falls to the ground just, like, still twitching, and it is completely obliterated.
Dario,
so dead.
Gord said subdue, not undo.
Attaboy, I'm literally Dario. Right beside you, Dario.
Well, we just buried one, so I thought I could kill one.
Good work, Dario.
Two down.
Thanks, Devlin.
This isn't how I
play. What the fuck?
Wow. Okay.
We only need God, one of these motherfuckers.
Is that your turn, Dario?
That's my turn.
Okay.
You've done enough.
He never had a chance. Okay, then it's going to be the second red cap's turn, and it is going to attack you thrice. Torque.
Thrice? That means yes, three.
That means three. Like, that's how Cornelius took 22 damage.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be 19 to hit the first one.
Fuck off. Yeah.
The second one's going to miss. That's a 9.
Yeah.
And the third one is going to be a 16 to hit.
Nah.
No?
Nar.
All right.
17, bro.
Okay. And then you're going to take 2d4 plus 4 damage for a whopping 9 damage.
Okay.
As it comes at you with its scythe and slashes into you.
I accept it.
Okay, good. Then it's going to be red cap number 6. So red cap number 6 is on the path towards the tree, and he walks... Yeah, red cap number 6 walks directly towards the tree and fucking goes ass over the tea kettle and falls into the hole.
Yeah.
Then it's going to be Spud's turn. And Spud runs down towards you, Cornelius.
Yeah.
And on the flank is going to attack the red cap there twice.
You can do it, Spud. You're the strongest member of this party.
I totally got you, bad.
Well, hang on a second.
Hey, bad, I got your literal back.
You also have a moral spirit.
And he does...
You're gonna fuck it up.
Even Cornelius laughs.
So 12 plus 6 is 18 is going to hit for the first short sword. The second is a 19, which will also hit. So it's going to roll its 2d6 plus 8. So that's going to be 6 and 8 is 14 damage to the red cap.
Damn it.
And that red cap starting to look pretty fucking hurt. Oh, that was an advantage too. No nat 20s. From behind, he stabs into it twice. It's bleeding brutally out of its back. It kind of like falters as it steps forwards towards you, Cornelius. And at that, it's going to be Gord's turn.
Excuse me. These red caps are like...
Sneezing takes an action.
Allergic reaction. Yes, yeah, sneezing takes an action. Gord, seeing that one is buried and one has been completely obliterated, both in front of him, is going to look back both at Nevlin and Dario and just be like, come on, guys. And he's going to drift right through Dario's mystic scythe and just come in to whack this red cap to the south.
Okay, roll to hit.
That's a 23 to hit.
That's going
to
hit.
Awesome. That's... 10 bludgeoning damage.
Nice. Yeah, you smash this thing right over the head, and it looks concussed, although it's not. It looks dazed.
And then I'll just look at him and be like, where are you gonna go? That's my action.
Is that your turn then?
That's my turn.
All right, it is gonna be that red cap, and he is going to attack you, Gord. That's where he's gonna go. So three times with the sickle. The first is gonna miss. Shit, 2 plus 6 is 8 is a miss. And what the fuck? 4 plus 6 is 10 for another miss. All three miss as it attacks you, and it is not moving because it's going to keep attacking you as it is corrupted. Next is going to be Cornelius.
All right. Cornelius is once again going to use Rabbit Hop, and I'm going to jump away 10 feet, and from there I'm actually going to run using my full movement. And yeah, I'm going to run about 40 feet away, and I'm going to cast Cure Wounds on myself at second level. So I'll take back 13 hit points, and that is my turn.
Nice. So yeah, you run away and you manage to create the glyph while you're running, and when you stand still, a bright white light comes out of your hands as you press your hands to your chest and you heal yourself. Then it's going to be red cap number 3, and he is going to attack Spud head on. The first is going to hit, the second is going to hit, and the third is also going to hit. And Spud is going to take 66 plus 12 damage.
Oh,
wow.
Ooh, I feel conflicted.
Seven is 14. Wow. Plus 3 is 17, plus 12 is 29? Yeah, okay.
Surely that's him done. Like, that's more HP than I have.
Yeah, Spud stands, and this thing slashes into Spud 3 times, and he's like... And he looks back at you, Torque, and he's like, please, avenge me. And then he falls over and he falls unconscious.
Oh my goodness.
Don't have a sensitive heart and resolve now, Caitlin.
Oh my god.
You should
you should be giddy. You should be so happy.
Okay, yeah, how would Torque feel? Oh man, that's a tough one. I suddenly feel so bad for this stupid little fungus.
Nothing like getting knocked out from stabs to the gut.
Yeah, right.
Well, with Spud fallen, it is now going to be Nevlin's turn.
All you hear from the lonesome tree is as another 5 cubic feet of dirt.
Yeah!
Is dumped into the hole containing
this
is
the second hole with the second red cap in it is crushed under the weight of 5 cubic feet of soil.
Oh my god.
And
that's grim.
Is that your turn, Nevlin?
That's it, man.
Okay, then it's gonna be Torque's turn.
Oh god.
Sitting in a tree playing excavator.
Okay. So Torque, you know, looks over as Spud is like being so dramatic, getting stabbed in the tummy or whatever, and he's like, "Avenge me!" And like Torque rolls his eyes, and then turns his attention back to the stupid little red cap directly in front of him, and he's gonna slash out with his short sword and try and finish this guy off.
Okay, roll the hit.
Fucking Jesus Christ. That's a nine.
Nine's not gonna do it.
But wait, let him try with his turtle claws.
Okay.
Oh my god. I need a new d20. That's an 11.
11 doesn't do it either.
Okay, but this time, Torque is gonna disengage.
Okay.
He's done being a little bit brave. He's gonna disengage from the red cap, and he's gonna move. Wait, can you move your total movement when you disengage?
So you, disengaging traditionally is an action, but we treat it as half of your movement, as so many people do.
Torque is gonna move 20 feet towards the tree.
Okay.
And towards Spud. Not that he cares, but in that general direction.
Okay, and that's your turn?
Yes.
Okay, and then it's gonna be Dario.
All right, so turning around and seeing Spud get shanked so many times, he's like, oh no. He's gonna run over to him, but first he moves his spiritual weapon. The scythe moves around Gord and up beside the red cap, and then it attacks.
Okay.
And it's going to make a subdual scythe attack.
Okay, roll to attack.
That's a 3 plus 5. It's not enough.
It's not enough. It misses just again over the top of the head. Forgets that it's a tiny little short person.
I run straight past the tree. I push through the dryad and out over top of the last buried red cap to be beside Spud. And I reach down, and this time I clutch the amulet of Mercule. And I'm like, he has plans for you yet. And my hand draws out and touches him to heal and cure wounds.
All right, righteous.
Yeah, that's only going to be 5 hit points.
Well, that's healing. 5 better than nothing.
Yeah.
Sweet. And Spud gets back up and he looks at you, Dario, and he's like, that is, thank you so much, Dario. Dar, thank you.
You're welcome, Spud.
That's your turn?
Yes.
God damn it.
All right, then it's going to be red cap number 2. Who is, now that you are running, Torque, it is
whoa,
going
whoa.
To...
disengaging, not running.
You did say that you were done being brave, so I'm pretty sure that means running away.
God damn it, you're right.
So, for its turn, it is going to follow you as you run away from it, and it will make it to you. It's going to attack you thricely.
Fuck!
And the first one is going to be a 15 to hit, so no.
No.
Second one's going to be a 16 to hit, so no.
No.
The third one's a miss. So he misses as he's running.
What the hell
he's
is your
trying
AC?
17, apparently.
Nice.
Got turtle shell.
Yeah, just wait until I go into my shell. It gets higher.
Is that when you get really less brave?
Yeah. One may even say cowardly.
With that, it's going to be Spud's turn. He is going to attack the westerly red cap, and he's going to hit it, or he's going to attack it twice. So that's going to be plus 6. 15 is a hit. And the second one's 15 plus 6 for 21, which is also a hit. And it's going to deal 2d6 plus 8 damage. That's going to be 15 damage in total. With the 15 damage, Spud comes in with his two short swords and stabs twice more into this red cap, and it drops to its knees, and it is now, like, bleeding out of its mouth, and it is not, like, it is legitimately, like, 1 HP styles on death door.
Yeah!
And then it's going to be Gord's turn.
Gord's going to attack subdually the one in front of him.
Okay, roll the hit.
Does a 12 hit?
No, a 12 does not hit.
All right. And he'll shout out to Nevlin, try the calm emotions. It might help them all out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. We don't have to bury them.
But I mean, I was going to do it after I dug him up.
Through gritted really teeth, funny. That's what Gord says. And he'll keep on kind of blocking this one from getting towards the tree.
Okay, it's going to be his turn, and he's going to attack you again, Gord. It's going to be a 17 plus 6.
Yep.
An 11.
Nope.
And a 15.
Yep.
So 2, so you'll take 44 plus 8 damage. 6. 6 and 5 is 11 plus 8 for 19 damage you'll take, Gord.
Okay.
Then it's going to be Cornelius' turn.
All right, I'm going to run back towards the one that I've been fighting this whole time, and I'm going to actually yell at Spud. Spud, the red cap behind you. So I'm gonna cast Hold Person on the guy I've been fighting here on the west side, and so he needs to make a Wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
And a DC 14.
Yeah, he fails.
He fails? Okay, so he's paralyzed for upwards of a minute, and, you know, classic drill. He rolls every turn.
Okay.
That's my turn.
Okay, well, it's his turn now, so he's going to try... What's the DC? Is it the same?
It's 14, yeah.
14? Yeah, he doesn't do it. So he remains paralyzed, and he can't move. And then it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
Three magic missile bolts shoot out of the foliage of the tree. One directed towards the red cap that's dealing with Torque, and two towards the red cap that is not being held, the one that is fighting with Gord.
With Gord. Okay, go ahead and roll the damage for those.
First, the one fighting Torque takes 4 damage.
Okay.
Torque loves it.
4, 7 damage total to the one attacking Gord.
All right. Yeah, so the missiles shoot out from the tree. Nobody sees it coming. And, Torque, you see a missile fly past you and smash into the red cap behind you. And, Gord, you see the same, but 2 missiles as they fly through the air and supplant themselves directly into the chest of the red cap.
Gord bites his tongue so hard.
Nevlin yells from the tree, "Hey, Corny, tie that guy up." That's the end of my turn.
Okay. Then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, well, Torque's just going to keep fighting this stupid red cap that chose to follow him.
All right.
So roll, he's going to... Oh, my God. A 14?
14 hits.
Yes, motherfucker! Okay, so he's attacking with his short sword first.
Okay.
Oh, fucking Jesus. Okay, I rolled a 1, so that'll be 5 damage.
Okay, you slash into it with your short sword and deal moderate damage.
I assume
you slash open his chest and you can see a bit of the muscle and it grosses you out.
Well, that's not nearly enough. I'm going to go in with my turtle claws as per usual.
Okay, roll the hit.
12 plus 18. That's Torque rolled an 18 to hit.
Yeah. That's a hit.
With his very sharp, threatening claws. Oh, God. Minimum damage. So that'll be another 5 damage.
Okay.
10
yeah.
in total.
Did you slash into this thing? It's not looking too great. It's starting to look pretty disheveled.
Okay. Okay, so Torque disengages and he goes toward the tree, kind of to the side slash behind-ish the hole that hasn't been fallen into yet. So it's still covered up. Maybe this stupid little red cap will fall into it. Who knows?
Okay, that's your turn. And it's going to be that red cap's turn. He okay. is going to run straight into the hole.
Yeah! Take that, you Boy stupid thing. Idiot! Do your thing, Neville!
So he's fallen into the hole, which I'm assuming will get covered up, which means he'll be crushed in a moment. And then Spud heard you, what you said, Nevlin. So he is going to pull out some rope from his explorer's pack, and he is going to start tying this red cap up. Just kind of like run circles around him with the rope, like Home Alone style, and hope that he ties some good knots. Yeah, that's what he spends his round doing, and then it's going to be Gord's turn.
Gord looks at Nevlin and just shouts, "Is this what you want?" And he recklessly attacks the red cap in front of him.
Okay, roll the hit.
And that's a nat 20.
Oh, shit.
So God.
It is 16 damage plus...
Hot calling the kettle black.
26 damage.
In total?
You're a murderous hypocrite.
Not a murderous hypocrite. I am doing what everybody wants me to do.
Hey, these red caps aren't exactly scrupulous on a good day.
So you crack this thing in the side of the head with your quarterstaff. You can actually visibly see its head is dented from where your quarterstaff hit it because you hit it so hard. Its skull is fractured, but it's more like on the inside because of how hard you hit it. So it's not actually bleeding, but it's suffered severe brain trauma. And it still has 2 hit points. So technically it's still alive. But with that hit, I am going to roll a constitution saving throw to see if he's just like straight up gonna fall back into the hole.
Yeah, fair.
And he rolls a 17, so even with a dented fucking head, he does not fall into the hole, but he is just staggered, like, finish him kind of styles.
Yeah, I storm off.
Okay.
I just want to say my turn was kind of missed in there.
Oh man. Oh Kyle, I'm so sorry, bro.
Oh, Kyle.
Do you mind just taking your turn right now?
And we'll, no problem.
I won't let it happen again.
Okay, sounds good.
Wow, that was a really sweet, endearing Tyrone voice.
So I look back from helping Spud, and Spud is now tying up that one guy, and I look over behind me, and I see you cave in a dude's head. He's, like, still standing, and then you walk away, and then I get the scythe to just sort of finish him, and I'll get it to attack and smack him in the head for a subdual.
Okay.
Hopefully not killing him. That's a 4 plus, not enough. It's a 9.
So your spiritual weapon misses?
Yeah, spiritual weapon misses.
Yeah, okay.
And then I turn over to the dude in the hole, and I'm like, well, it looks like we have two. And I reach down after clutching the amulet of Mercule, and my hand turns a glowing red again as I go for a touch attack to fully desiccate this body of the red cap in the hole. And then hopefully he dies. And that is going to be a miss as well.
Damn it.
I rolled a 3 plus not enough.
Yeah, that is a miss.
So I'm like, just like slip on some dirt or something like that. I'm like, oh no!
And then I just.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. It's totally up to the DM.
No, it wasn't a critical miss. If it was a critical miss, I would have totally brought that into play. But
then I'll step back from over top of the buried hole of one of them, and I go to stand beside the dryad as I disengage.
Okay, it's going to be top of the round, and it's going to be the caved-in head red cap. And he kind of, like, shakes his head and regains his composure, and he looks directly at you, Dario, and you, Torque, and his eyes just start to fucking pulse, and he clenches his fists, one around his sickle, and he takes one step forward and then drops 5 feet into the hole in front of him.
Oh my god, I love that so much. This is how we have to fight every single
battle.
Oh,
and he's gonna take, I forgot to do the 1d6 falling damage for the other one, but doesn't really matter. This one's gonna take 2 damage, so he falls into the hole, and as he falls, his neck just fucking snaps, and he's dead at the bottom of the hole. Well, technically, you guys are now out of combat, out of initiative.
Okay. What about, there's that guy in the pit yet?
Yeah, but he can't really act.
He can't
get out of the pit? Nice.
No.
I didn't have to bury those guys.
You could use calming motions, and it's a 20-foot cube. It would have just cured all of them.
Here, actually, let's see.
They're still monsters, though.
Oh, my God.
They're not going to be particularly happy. These red caps, we've encountered them before, and they've not been under the influence of the ooze. And
they're small. They're small fae. They ain't climbing out of a 5-foot hole.
Okay.
We're like giants.
What's done is done. I'm going to go find Gord. You guys have this in hand, right?
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
Okay. I'll make my way off to go and find Gord.
Yeah, Gord's just standing there looking disappointed.
You, do you want to talk about their big guy?
Talk about what?
I feel like you're a little bit frustrated by the wanton death of these little fiends. Maybe there's a different way of looking at things.
Yeah, maybe there is. You know, I have, for the last 15 years, tried to get away from all of this. But
From all the killing?
Yeah, but ever since we came here, it seems like there's nothing but it.
In my mind, there's a bigger goal to life. And, you know, we are but humble mortals in this great cosmology of struggle, and this is ours, and it's okay if some ne'er-do-wells die along the way, in my opinion, but because, you know, they'll all be judged in the hellfire of Mercule's mercy, and so I wouldn't worry about it, you know.
You ever die, Dario?
I came very close once. I don't like to talk about it, but you know, it really solidified some facts for me, and I don't worry about it as much anymore.
Well, when you are given a second chance and a second life, it does change.
Let it be in the service of Mercule. Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Sure, Dario.
Oh,
Okay, well, that was
this
good...
is, I'll just say this.
Okay.
This is what our group's gonna be. It's gonna get a lot uglier from here. I can tell you that.
Is that uglier for us or uglier in terms of, like, how we deal with things?
Let's hope it's just for how we deal with things. And I'll head back to the group.
Nice. Gord, I want you to take a point of inspiration. Dario, you can take a point of inspiration as well.
Woohoo!
Nice. Yay! OP.
He does a little dance.
So Dario and Gord, you have your little chat, and you walk back to the tree, and they're done tying up. Nevlin, are you putting this sad fey creature out of its misery and dropping another 5 cubic feet of soil on its head?
I mean, it's not in misery, is it? It's just stuck in a hole.
Yeah, it's trying to claw its way out.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about him. I'm more focused on the one that we're tying up. I think at this point we would have had this one all tied up, and I'm ready to cast my spell upon him.
Before you do so, Nevlin, let's just remember what Cornelius said. Like, maybe we should have two of them to verify some facts and ideas. One could lie, two cannot.
I think two can lie, but we do got the one in the pit still. So, yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah, we can do that.
All right, And also, can you calm them down or something?
Yeah, we're... Welcome to the party, buddy. That's what we're about to do.
Ah, okay, sorry. I've made it back now.
And Nevlin will cast Calm Emotions on the tied-up red cap.
Okay, and you cast Calm Emotions, and its eyes, the blackness in its eyes slowly starts to dissipate, and you see, like, sort of like an obsidian mist that just kind of, like, comes out of the pores of its skin and just, like, dissipates into the air. Eyes that were black and still bloodshot return to just bloodshot eyes as the blood starts to recede, and it's the whites of its eyes are more clear, and it opens its eyes and shuts its eyes and opens its eyes again, and it kind of sits up, still tied in all of its bonds, and it looks around at you all, and it's like, what happened?
You were being controlled by some kind of evil essence, but you are fine now. I am sorry to say your compatriots did not last.
Oh, they're all dead. We murdered all of them. We buried some of them, and they died a really horrible death.
Talk.
Tell us everything you know. Tell us everything that we need to know about the stones and the stuff we gotta know about.
Stones? I don't know anything about any stones.
What happened to you?
I don't rightly know, man. The whole clan? Oh, man. Oh, mom's gonna be pissed.
Hey, where is your clan? Where is your mom?
She's further north. She's further north. I don't know what happened. We had been coming here to meet to camp when we were hunting for months, and then that big comet came from the sky and smashed into the draw, and I don't remember much after that.
What do you mean the comet?
Where'd the comet land?
Down further to the south.
Further to the south, eh?
Yeah, somewhere near Thos Yaga, I think. I don't know. It was in that general direction.
Where's that in relation to Lower End?
Lower End's just east of here, and it's probably, I don't know, 4 day south journey to somewhere in that vicinity.
How long have you been like this? Did you encounter the fallen comet?
No.
Oh man, you're not helpful at all. We could have just murdered him, you guys. Let's go.
Did you ever find a ooze? Something yes. Black?
No, not to my knowledge.
Okay, but clearly you did, right?
You need to understand, you have not been yourself, and Francesca will testify to that. You have ravaged and broken the branches of her tree. You should say sorry.
Francesca, why don't you come out here and tell him?
He turns around and he sees a weeping Francesca who is like tightly holding her tree. And he's like, oh, Francesca, did I really do that? And she looks over and she's like, yes, you hurt us so bad. And he's like, ah. And Frank didn't come to help at all.
Frank.
And she's like, you know, he couldn't. And he's like, oh, Francesca, man, I'm really sorry. And he goes to stand up, but he falls back down to his butt because he's tied up and everything. He's like, I wish there was some way I could make this right.
Well, I'll tell you what. The only way that you can atone is to release the rest of your clan. We don't have time, so you're gonna have to figure that out. Thanks for the information, though. We don't need you anymore.
Okay, man. I mean,
that's just me. You guys can let them
go. Where's the rest of my clan?
But is the other guy all still, like, oozy? In the pit guy, you know, the one that's not dead yet.
Yeah, he is still fully corrupted and trying to claw his way out.
Come over here. Come on, what's your name again, Redcap?
My name's Jenkins.
Come here, Jenkins. And I take him over to the hole, and I'm like, look at your friend. This is what you were moments ago.
Man, Larson, what the fuck? Larson, come to terms. Come, get your head out of the shits, man. Come on.
What you need to know, Jenkins, is that whatever fell from the sky changed you all when you found it. I don't know how long you've been corrupted, but we helped you. The rest of your friends, we couldn't help them.
What am I supposed to do, man?
Well, that is entirely up to you. We do not have time personally, but you're going to have to figure... This is your quest.
Hey, is there more of you other than these six?
I mean, yeah, man, there's tons of clans all over the Mercantra.
Then you should warn them.
That is your mission.
I will do this, but can you help my buddy out?
Nevlin.
I look over to Nevlin, I'm like, man.
Okay, well, I mean, if only there was some way that I could, like, lift 5 cubic feet of soil and drop it on his head to put him out of his misery.
Or maybe.
Well, wait a second, we know how to do that. Nevlin, there's a lot of dirt around here.
I gotta agree with Gord on this.
All right, Gord, but listen, this isn't the first time we've run into these guys, and they haven't exactly been friendly with the without the ooze, okay? So I'm just saying, going into the future, if we're gonna keep each other in check, you gotta check your own charity at the door as well, all right?
Yeah, check your charity, Gord.
And Nevlin's going to cast Calm Emotions on the guy in the pit.
As he does that, Gord bites his lip.
Okay, and then...
I grab the guy that was tied up, and I kind of grab him by the collar, and I pull him close, and I say, and you remember us, and you tell the others about us, and I...
But don't tell him about the stupid mushroom, just us guys.
And I push him away from me as Nevlin is casting the spell.
Okay, yeah, he stumbles back. He just looks so hurt, and as he kind of stumbles back, he drops the three of his bonds, he drops the ropes to the ground, and he looks over to the pit, and you see the other red cap just kind of like come to same sort of thing. He's kind of sitting on his butt, and his eyes return to normal, the whites of his eyes clear, and he looks up out of the 5-foot hole, and he sees Jenkins there with his hand down, and throws him the, you know, the old warrior's handshake. And Larson looks up at him and he's like,
oh, Jenkins, where's everyone else, bro?
And he pulls him up and he's like, they're gone, man.
What do you mean gone? Where are we?
And he starts kind of filling him in. And as he's filling him in, that's when Francesca comes up to you guys. And she's like,
we must thank you. We thank you for saving our lives. If there was a box buried under the roots of this tree long ago, I would like you to have its contents.
The roots start to push up out of the ground and break apart the earth, revealing like this wooden box.
What's in it?
Smaller box.
You go and open it up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's opening the box.
And
I want to open it.
There's a ring.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
Come I gotta
on, what's
know.
In the box, man?
There's a ring.
Oh, guys, look at the ring.
It's a beautiful ring.
Oh, it's pretty.
You don't know what kind of ring, but it's a ring anyway. And there is a scroll.
Oh, we don't need this. You can take this back, Francesca. This looks a little boring.
No. We're interested in the scroll.
Yeah, oh, okay, I want to know what's happening there.
Okay, here, Nevlin. Here's a little scroll thing, Nevlin.
You pull the scroll open, Nevlin, and it is a scroll of fireball.
Ooh, I am also interested, but...
This is how you all die.
Remember who gave you that scroll.
In the side of the box, there are 2 healing potions.
Ooh.
If you're lucky, Nevlin, you might survive to be able to use that.
Ooh. That was very threatening.
And then, with that guard. You guys slowly walk away from the scene, and Francesca walks back to the tree, leans her back into it, and slowly starts to meld into the tree again as the red caps just start walking the other way. And you guys head back on your journey.
Cool.
Nice.
I could really use one of those healing potions. If no, I have zero.
Oh yeah, no, you go right ahead. I'm good.
Does anyone need any
should
healing?
Should we sleep here for the night? Considering that it is the middle of the night.
Yeah, you could sleep. You could have a full rest here tonight, and you could make it probably by mid morning to Low Aaron the next day.
Can we go make camp under the cool tree though?
Yeah. You guys walk back and you bring some twigs from elsewhere to have a fire near the tree, and you set up camp with Francesca sleeping against the tree.
I'll produce flame to start that fire.
Okay. And you guys have a decent rest.
May I interject?
Yeah.
Two things I would like to do before I rest. I want to cast Detect Magic on the ring.
Okay. It is magical.
Mm-hmm. Then I will cast Identify.
You cast Identify. It is a ring of protection.
Ooh.
Nice. Gives you a plus one to AC.
I could really use something like that.
Requires attunement. So could Gord, your tank that doesn't have any fucking AC.
What's your AC there, Gord?
It's 12.
Oh my god.
Using a shield.
Yeah, you should have that.
Yeah, mine's only 13.
I'll take it.
Oh, you're a little squishy. Yeah, I think this might help you out.
Yeah.
I'll take the ring and I'll put it on next to my wedding ring.
Jesus. Sorry, this is Eric laughing. That was good.
Until we meet again. And he'll go to bed.
Before Cornelius closes his eyes for the night, he's going to kind of just like disappear around one of the logs for like 5-10 minutes, and then I'll come back up and lay down, curl up by the fire, and go to sleep.
Okay.
That's a long poop.
it's a lot of little pooplets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, watch out for pellets over there.
So you arise in the morning, you pack up your camp, and you say your goodbyes to Francesca, and you set back to traveling east through the bog to Low Aaron.
After long hours of traveling at half speed, a break in the mist reveals a large settlement of thatch-roof cottages and dirt roads. Figures can be seen in and around the huts, milling about, and the sound of crackling fires can be heard in the distance. As you approach, the smell of cooked wild game stirs an unsatisfied hunger in the pits of your belly, and your mouths begin to water. There are guards posted at each crucial point in this settlement, so the people here seem content to wander about their daily tasks free of worry. You notice a small market near the center of town, and it appears to flutter with excitement as people trade amongst themselves. It is at this moment a guard quickly approaches in jingly armor, clearly too big for his stature.
Hello, hello. What are you doing here then, eh? Where are you coming from?
Oh, hey there, big guy.
It's coming from Sir Elise.
Senelise.
Just Senelise. Coming from Senelise.
Yeah, they're, these guys aren't from here.
Senelise to the north. I just gotta do my due diligence, you know. Looking for the green folk, then?
Yeah, the green folk? Who do you mean?
Nah, there's the knights. They look green.
Green knights.
Yeah, that's a really good point. They rented a small hut down the way, western side. You'll find most what else you need in the market. Good day.
And he steps aside.
I understand that guy.
Hey, did any of you guys understand that guy?
He was real mumbly. I don't know. It's...
He was clearly drunk.
Let's just go that way and check, you know, one of the huts down there.
So you guys walk into the settlement of Low Aaron, and the dirt roads are dusty as people are milling about and stuff like that. And you slowly make your way towards the hut that the dude pointed you towards, and as you approach the Knights of the Green that are in said hut, you're met by Rufio, a familiar face, and the elven cleric who had healed you guys before you left for the Manor Barnabas, if you recall.
Bangarang.
With a concerned look on his face, he looks at you all and he's like, "Hello, please, come into the hut."
Hell, well met. Proceed inside.
You all go inside.
Yeah.
Six Knights of the Green sit around a small fire, tired and silent. You are each offered a seat as Rufio sits down with you. He fumbles his words at first, looks to the ground and up again to the party as he opens his mouth. Trembling, he says,
"We've got terrible news. We found stone. We found the stone, but we were too late, for it now rests in the hands of Baba Yaga." And that's where we're going to end the session.
Fuck yeah!
No. Ooh,
Baba Yaga flying around in a mortar and pestle. Got a cabin on chicken legs. Probably my favorite fictional Slavic witch.